where we talk about the men and the women who be slapping to be in the middle of the square circle and the story they're telling in the process, brother. I'm, of course, GB. I have Matt and Jake here. We have a fun show for y'all today on our Wednesday show. And don't forget that if you happen to like this episode, if you're watching on YouTube, you can leave a comment. If you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, feel free to rate, review, do the things. Get us in. Get us up. Get us up. I started using Apple Podcasts the other day, guys.
Cool. That's the thumbnail. Get us up.
Get us up. That's it. Actually, that's what's gonna. That's. I might that's actually put that. I'm gonna put that in the thumbnail for this episode. Let's see if anyone catches it. it's gonna be a picture of like Cody Rhodes. It's gonna be like, get us up. That's gonna be so good. But yeah, guys, we have a fun show for everyone planned today. Because on our Wednesday show, we talk about AEW here, so we can talk about Tony Storm, talk about AEW Collision, the Death Riders, and all that good stuff. But before we do that, as customary. Fellas, how's your week been? How are you doing? You good? What's up? Miss your faces.
You know? I had jury duty this morning.
That's why you're here.
That's
it
right.
It was so weird. What a waste of time. They called 20 people, had us go on a 30-minute break, and came back, and they were like, well, I guess y'all can just go home.
That's government efficiency right there, baby. Yeah. Hey, at least you're not doing it. I did jury duty. One time, or almost did. I never actually got to be on a jury. Anyone, you guys ever got to be on like a jury? Or
this is my first time doing jury duty at all.
I got called.
They finally found me.
Three times.
Three times? Called. They must hate your ass. Damn.
But, so once was college, and I showed up, and they're like, oh, it's the class. Like, this was before you could just like, now I think you can like tell them online or something, but I was like, yeah, I'm supposed to be in class. Like, can I, it's like the undue burden or whatever, like for people who need to be at work or certain, but I was like, oh, you're in school. Yeah, you can go. Like I waited around an hour, called your name eventually. I was like, yeah, I'm in college. I should be in class right now. They're like, oh, okay, go.
Yeah.
So I left. Then I got summoned and I just didn't go.
Okay.
So,
well, we'll edit that part out of the podcast.
Well,
so the
government. Whatever. You don't know where I live. It's not very easily to find that at all. It's not easy at all. I'd never talk about being from where I'm
from. And you're out here shilling for Mustafa Ali, talking about vote, do all this. Look at you not doing your civic duty of jury duty. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
This guy. Unreal.
Classic jury dodger.
The one panel they did call was going to be a 35-day trial.
Oh, dear.
So luckily, I was not called for that.
How do you determine? Like, what if after like day one, they're like, we rest. This guy's guilty.
We got him.
This case is closed. Well,
they said it was a civil case. And I was like, I don't understand how you estimate it's going to be 35 days.
Yeah, how do you estimate the law?
I have no idea. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know.
It's like it's just like a Sims counter. You know what I mean? Like they just click on the button and it'll tell you how long it'll take for this thing to get done. You know, it's basically the government's a gotcha game. That's what we're learning here.
Yeah, and pretty much.
We're just waiting for something to get done over time. We have really loved everything about the timeless Tony Storm storyline. From its inception all the way to where we are right now, it hasn't been perfect, but it certainly has had tons and tons of memorable moments. But this week in particular may have been the most memorable, depending on which camp you are. That depends, but it was memorable for that. We finally got the reveal of timeless Tony Storm. She is back and dropped honestly a really fun, awesome promo. I did not think that I would pop for I will rip your tits off, but that was a great line. And I'm going to say that like a personal anecdote, my wife was just like doing things passively in the room. And when she heard timeless Tony Storm come back, she like turned around immediately and was like, oh my God, is she back? And it was like the quick, like she knew instantly like what it was. And then as soon as she made like the jokes and everything, she was like, oh my God, that's fucking awesome. I want to watch that. That's fucking awesome. And my wife hates when I talk about pro wrestling always. So for her,
we have this podcast.
It's why we have this podcast. Mm-hmm. So for her to say that, it was honestly kind of dope. So it hit it for some folks, I would imagine. But I want to get you guys thoughts on it. Enough about me and my personal experience with it. Matt, what did you think of it? Because I know you had your back and forths on it.
Oh, there was no back and forth.
Oh, go for it. Not back and forth, you're just fourth.
No, so like, I want to preface this with Tony is an amazing performer, and character work is second to none in that company and in wrestling overall. So much so, and I've said this to the point where, despite what I'm about to say, it will be fine because she's that damn good. She will can go back to this character and reinvent it and make it awesome and give us incredibly detailed and incredible promos. And she's a good wrestler too. So like after next week, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
I know it because she has that level of ability that she can kind of, you can erase it. Otherwise, I freaking hated this.
Okay.
Hated this. Or maybe I should say I'm just so disappointed because of what it could have been. I guess what delivered technically was fine, but it should have been 10 times more.
Okay.
Starting with the Mariah May promo, which I thought was bland, banal, and absolutely like lifeless. Had no connection to anything Toni Storm has been doing for the past 3 months with this, you know, amnesiac rookie character performance of a lifetime thing. Didn't address it. Didn't say like, who, what do you think you're doing? You're wandering around it pretending to be this. It was just, she went right into, this is the first time they've met after this whole story. And she just goes into generic heel promo number 42.
Yeah.
I am better than you. You are a worthless pile of nothing. You stink. You suck. I'm going to kill you. I don't. What is this person? Why address anything that's been going on the last couple of months? Or address anything. It's like, or even belittle her and be like, I knocked you so hard into oblivion. You don't remember your own, 2 feet. Something like, this is my greatest joy, not just this time, anything. Just bring me back in instead of just cutting, you're awful, you're terrible, I'm going to beat you, you suck. And Tony played, and they had a moment where it was like, I saw a flash of what we had talked about in the weeks leading up to this. Tony goes to shake the hand and hugs her, and Mariah, for a second, I don't know if it was the blocking or if it was out of instinct, hugs her back like, huh, they're there. And I'm like, I got a flash of that idea that we had talked about of like the reversal of what Tony and her were.
Yeah.
And then it all just made, I'm like, man, they should have just brought Tony back like 2 months earlier and then brought us to this. Mariah takes advantage of her, brings her under her wing, and then Tony brings her close enough in to give back what Mariah did to Tony. Now, I know that, and I'm finishing up, I promise. I know they wanted to, Mariah won in England, so Tony wins in Australia. They win in their hometowns, this big story thing. I get it. But man, I think this was really, really, really bungled. And, but it'll be fine because Tony is such a good performer. Like I said, we'll see pre-tapes and vignettes and promos next week, and they're going to be awesome, and the match will be great because Mariah May is also a very good wrestler. I think she needs help on character work, but she's a very good wrestler. So, like, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll course correct. But this moment was absolutely bungled for me.
Yeah.
And I'm done for the next 40 minutes.
Go for it, Jake. What are you going to say?
Do you remember growing up in school when like you're so confident in what you know about a subject matter or whatever it is that you're like, well, I'll just coast and you think, I'll be fine. Whatever happens in class today. And then you realize that you forgot to do the homework.
Oh, all the time.
And so as the teacher is collecting it, you're like, oh shit. Like you're just you're like writing stuff down real quick.
Yeah. And I think I see where you're going with this.
That's how this felt to me. This segment, it felt like weirdly rushed. It felt weirdly hurried. Like it was like we don't really know how to go from point A to point B. So just let it happen.
Yeah.
I agree with Matt. I was so underwhelmed by it. Like, yeah, there were flashes of it that were great. Like Tony's promo I enjoyed, but the reveal of it was just,
yeah,
it just was so, I felt like it was so bland, because the biggest thing that I'm left asking is why?
Like, why did she do it then? Why did she pull off this performance? What was the goal?
Yeah.
Because if the purpose of it all is to gain some, you would assume the purpose of it is to gain some sort of advantage over your opponent. Like, that's why. Yeah,
exactly.
That's why I would think that she'd be doing it. So what's the advantage to revealing that now, 2 weeks before the match?
Yeah.
When this is literally the first time you've come face to face. So I don't get that. It
tells me that there was like a gap, or there was like a thing that they probably wanted to do. Cause now I'm curious how they're going to fill these next 2 weeks.
Well, that's the thing what is the point in revealing it 2 weeks before the match occurs? Because to me, like, if the whole point is that this was just an act, right? That she's literally just acting.
Yeah.
Then again, I feel like she needs to be acting to get some, to gain some sort of advantage. Like, that's what she needs to be doing.
Yes.
So how I wish then it would happen, if we're going with, all right, it was all an act. How come when she's, I want Rocker Tony's music to hit it at Grand Slam Australia, her to start coming out, she comes out as Rocker Tony, she gets halfway down the ramp and the smile on her face disappears,
mm-hmm,
and her music dies down, and she does on the ramp what she did in the ring, where she takes off her rocker jacket or whatever it is, takes off the hat, and reveals underneath her timeless Tony Storm gear, her true self, everything goes black and white, her timeless Tony Storm music hits, and now Mariah's like, whoa, what's going on?
And
instead
then
of giving her 2 whole weeks to cope with what she's just discovered.
Exactly. These past, if they were going to rush it like this, these past couple of weeks are Tony being rock, you know, rookie, and be like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. And Mariah's going, I've got this in the bag.
Yeah.
This little,
yeah,
she's so crazy.
Right.
She can't even remember how to wrestle. Put her in a match and she's like, she's flustered and like,
get her in a tag match, you know, like, yeah, the classic
Mariah coexist, the crazy, right? Just slapping her around, yeah, kind of thing. And be like, yeah, I don't know. And then Mariah's like, this is going to be a walk in the park.
And also,
I'm going to wrestle with an amnesiac.
Could have used the Vendetta. You could have used Diana Perazzo in that situation. And Taya Valkyrie, a great tag team that are currently feuding with Tony. So it was like, I agree. Where do you go now? Because that's where you kind of get a little bummed out about it. Because like you said, Matt, the match is going to be great. I have no doubt. It's going to be awesome. Like, they're going to put on one hell of a show.
My interest in the storyline has plummeted.
Can they regain it? Can they regain it though?
Yeah, but
I don't want to discredit them for just one like stumble. You know what I mean? When everything's been so good.
Well, I know, but to me it was. But I don't know. I just feel like you got in the red zone and you fumbled the ball.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like,
how I feel.
We were saying,
like,
the
you
same
still
shit.
Have another chance. You say, like, and I'm gonna give them enough rope to hang themselves with. And I want to see how they recover from this, because it just felt so abrupt. It felt like a twist for the sake of a twist, mm-hmm, and not
for
a purpose.
Shyamalan, like, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It almost just feels like
It's almost
we
like
we saw someone tear off a mask of their own face and be like, it was me all along. And you're like,
well, yeah. So something I heard recently, which I think is a great analogy, is both the movie and the real life application to the art of magic and illusions is the Prestige. You have the Pledge, the Turn, and the Prestige. Usually that, and that fits in really well in a three act structure of a story you're telling. Mm-hmm. Here's, you have your premise, what is laid out before you. We all accept that. There's a turn.
Actually,
the flip and the reveal of like the big, oh my God, that's why, or that was that all along kind of thing. And it wows you and it makes you feel tingly and magic. And like this, they just seem to like go from the Pledge and even past the Prestige and you're just like, ha, yep, yeah. Scooby-Doo. And I don't know why. It's just tough.
It felt like, you know, someone brought out like this beautiful loaf of bread that was made and had and some nice oil and herbs on a plate. You can dip it in. And then here comes your, you know, your salad to start it off. And it's a great salad. Then you have a nice appetizer, right? And then here comes the meal and they just pour a can of ravioli on your plate. The dessert may be great.
Yeah.
There's still more. We still have not had the dessert, which is
it's the match. That's going to be the match and what comes after it for sure.
Right.
For sure.
But I'm always going to be like, what the fuck was up with that main course? What was up with what? Like, they just brought out a can of ravioli. Why?
That's my worry. Is that you're just going to kind of, the way this played out. And I'm going to, again, give credit to people like Tony Storm. And again, big shout out to RJ City, who we've been made aware of, has a lot to do with that character of Timeless and everything. Maybe they're cooking something tonight when this airs and when you're watching it. Dynamite, maybe they have some elaborate explanation. And if they do, great. Because otherwise, I feel like you're just going to kind of have to forget this two-month rookie performance thing. Because, again, there was no purpose. It didn't connect to anything. Yeah. It didn't provide any reason or an advantage for doing it.
Now, I will contest, right? The only thing I will say, and where I think they can get away with it, is that if there's one thing that we have come to understand with the Timeless Toni Storm character, is that she is mentally not well, right? Like, that's like the whole gimmick, you know, like it all started because she crashed out with the title and then, you know, it continued to fall apart more and more. She lost more and then she finally like broke into the Timeless character and then all this kind of came to be, right? So I guess the reason why I'm mentioning that is like you could explain it with that, like, again, wrestling has a tendency to just ignore things at their convenience because it's wrestling and that's just what, you know, you do sometimes, right? And then sometimes it makes sense. Obviously, we don't want that to happen. And I'm not saying or advocating that, like, oh, you just say Toni Storm's crazy and then that solves the problem, because that's not solving the problem.
Because just because she might be, I'm mentally unwell, but I'm not stupid.
Yeah. No, you know, I understand.
It just feels like it just,
you know, better than anyone else.
Neither is the character of Timeless Toni Storm. You know, she's smart. You know, she's quick. She has been this whole time. And everything has had a purpose for her. But what was the purpose here? It just was like, of all the times to reveal this.
Yeah,
it
definitely like had a weird, the pacing of that was certainly weird. I personally enjoyed the promo.
You were having a surprise party 2 weeks before your birthday. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't I wait until your birthday to tell you that you have a surprise? Like, then it's not a surprise anymore.
Yeah.
You're ready for it.
Yeah. I disagree.
I just don't understand the motivation for it.
Yeah.
Character and story wise.
Well, we'll have to see, you know, where it goes, because I'm curious, you know, even with that, like, Because, you know, I think, again, we kind of reflect on stories and we look back on it and we're like, oh, that was a bad idea. Oh, that was a good idea. Oh, that was a bad call. Like, you know, and obviously we can always look back on something with like hindsight being 2020, being like, oh, you know, I should have done it this way and blah, blah, blah. Right. So there's always going to be like the coulda, should have in anything in regards to this. But I will say that if anything, I am compelled to see where these two go for the next 2 weeks and four episodes of TV that they have available to them. Like what do they do with that time? How do they take advantage of that time? I think they should be in each and every episode of AEW TV leading up to Grand Slam, because that would help tell the story, I think, a bit more cohesively. But as of right now, yeah, if you were to grade it right now, it is definitely like not where you would want it to be, given that this is like one of AEW's premier storylines, you know, like it's your women's world championship. They've put a lot of stock into Mariah May. And that's another thing too, I did want to mention as well is the Mariah May bit. Because I think you had a good note when you said like Mariah May needs a little bit more time with her promo game and stuff. You want to know what she's reminding me of right now? She reminds me of like when Seth Rollins first got his first title reign, right? And how like, you know, you knew he was like legit in the ring. You knew that he could fucking go because he did that match with Brock Lesnar. He did that match with John Cena. Like, I mean, they had so many bangers, right? And you knew Seth Rollins can go in the ring. But like as a character, Seth Rollins really like wasn't quite there yet. He was still like guy who wears tactical vests who shows up to the ring and laughs like a dick. So like that was like his whole thing. And then you get the Messiah and then, you know, the architect and all the different things. And I kind of feel like that's where Mariah May is right now, where Tiffany Stratton is going to be in currently as well, where it's
just like she's still growing,
like
for
a growing green champion. But like I gotta say, what a run. Like I'm excited for this run to end, because I think one of the criticisms I do have of this overall story, and I'm curious to get you guys thought on it, is I do feel like it handcuffed the women's world championship way too much for way too long, and they have way too stacked of a division right now to just focus on two women only. You know,
GB, I just sent you a picture, and the picture to me describes what we've seen and up to what we saw last Saturday on.
Let Collision. Me know when you want me to bring it up.
Go ahead.
So I'm assuming this is
a bad horse, yeah. Is really well drawn. Like that's beautiful. Art.
Yeah. Like explain for the audio listeners what they're looking at here, Jake.
It's literally a half-assed horse. I mean, it's a drawing where the back half of the horse is like perfectly detailed, damn near photographic. And then as it gets to the middle, it just becomes this awkward drawing that a child has done. And that's like, I felt like, you know, I was looking at this horse's ass. It was like, this is a great drawing. And then we did this last night on Collision.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay,
that's great.
Let's erase it.
That's so funny.
And take another go.
I'm glad you guys are mentioning Collision, because I did want to talk a little bit about Collision as a show. Right. Because a lot of the conversation I'm seeing right now on like, you know, social media about AEW, you know, is, it's mixed, and it's always, you know, people are so measured with their takes on the internet. It's divine. But one of the things that I'm seeing is that people are very much enjoying what Collision has to offer now. The show feels more focused. It feels like it's delivering a lot more. One thing in particular that has been noted has been the emphasis on the word, saying the word trios, getting trios out there more often. They've been very like intent with that. Shane Taylor Promotions is getting a big push because of the trios division, and Undisputed Kingdom right now is doing the same thing. So I think it's all going to lead in that direction. So it does feel like Collision's becoming a lot more of a cohesive show. But this particular episode of Collision, despite the misgivings we have with Tony and Mariah's promo, actually, I think displayed that quite a bit. Do you think that's cope? And I'm not talking about the wrestler. Or do you think... Or do you think that it's legit and that Matt, Collision actually has become a better show? And why do you think that is?
Well, it's we were speaking before the show a little bit. It's amazing when you get rid of a no offense to Rampage, but for a while, what has felt like a superfluous hour of content in many ways. Not that good things didn't have great matches were happening on there occasionally, storyline segments, but very rare. A lot of the time it was just kind of extra content and you were still trying to do Collision. Now, with it just being the two primary shows, something I was thinking about is it felt like, and I think it also has maybe a little bit to do with their taping schedule. And she, again, this is outside the bounds of like storytelling, but I remember for a while they were doing, it was like Dynamite and Rampage on like Wednesday, and then they'd wait. And then on Saturday, they're doing Ring of Honor and Collision. And so you didn't get everybody for both, and it was a roster. Now I think they're doing them closer together and just the two main shows. They may obviously do Ring of Honor stuff somewhere in there.
They are.
But it feels a little bit like the OG Raw SmackDown days, where like main storylines would cross both. There were not separate brands or rosters or anything, but like stuff went down on Raw. Oh shoot, they're going to be at SmackDown and we're going to see them. And the through lines and the top stars are on both shows.
Yeah.
Not that I'm advocating taking spots away from younger talent and not spreading that out more, but like your top stuff, yeah, you want to see that addressed across all shows and stuff like that. So I am starting to feel like that more of like, maybe they'll kind of go for like what's A, what's B, but like, I mean, Dynamite's still the flagship, but they feel a little bit more like, yeah, this is going to keep going on Collision. So you better join us this weekend kind of thing, as opposed to, because before I felt like we would get a lot of this happened on Dynamite.
Yeah.
And next week on Dynamite, we'll hear from. And it was like, okay, I'll just wait till Wednesday. And then, oh, stuff also happened on Collision.
Yeah.
And now it's feeling like more of a continuous through line, which is very cool.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Actually, one thing that I do feel like is going to play a big role into that as well. It's as I was mentioning earlier, was the tag team wrestling trios as well as the tag titles. Because let's not forget, guys, we got brand new AEW tag team champions. The Hurt Corporation Incorporated have won the belts off of Private Party. And Jake, though, you know, I'm going to say outright that I did not agree with this. I actually thought this was a bad call. I feel like it made Private Party look really just not look bad, because I don't think I understand what they were doing. They were basically saying like, these guys are big and bad and Private Party aren't big enough to contend with them. But like, it also kind of feels just odd because it was like such an uncompetitive matchup to have that. And they've only defended the belts like 2-3 times. So it was like kind of odd. That being said, though, this wasn't the bad call. This was the right call. These guys are legit as fuck. What do you think about it, Jake?
I actually think it would have made more sense if we're trying to build up trios. Why didn't they win the trios titles? That's kind of what I thought would be a good idea for them, is to help build that up even more and bring up the prestige of those titles.
Yeah. I don't hate that idea. That would have been nice, especially with MVP like coming back and doing like one or two matches. But that's the thing. I don't know if MVP would have like wrestled.
I don't know if he's full time kind of thing.
Well, but
you don't need him to.
I don't think he had to have been. No. Yeah. I think it's actually interesting.
Especially Bobby Lashley, like, Shelton Benjamin.
Yes. Look, he lets them go in there and go to work, and then he tags in just to hit his finisher and
actually
make a pin.
It would be fucking badass, but it doesn't fit their characters right now, though. That doesn't fit. Like, MVP very much likes to hurt people, you know? So, like, you can't be a chicken shit and then tell everyone else to hurt everyone and then call yourself the MVP of the hurt business. You know what I mean?
I mean, you can. That's
the
irony.
Yes, you can. You can.
You can do whatever you want.
In wrestling, you can do anything you want. This is true.
You can absolutely do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was surprised. I mean, it felt like as soon as they booked Hurt Business conglomerate. What are they? I don't remember.
Hurt Syndicate. Anyway,
Syndicate. As soon as Hurt LLC was booked into that match, the titles were getting changed, because they're not going to have them come in to lose that match. Like, they're just not, like, because that they immediately lose credibility.
Yeah. And you also need to have title changes on Dynamite here and there. So it's not like it's the worst idea. I just sucks that Private Party's first reign ended basically like
at the expense of the
Ended like Kofi Kingston's world championship reign. You know what I mean? Like it was basically the tag team version of that, you know, which was pretty rough. But that being said, though, there were also a lot of other really and even though that was on Dynamite, you know, covering everything that leads into it. One other thing from Collision that I actually really liked, and I think more people need to be talking about it, was everything going on with Big Bill and Powerhouse Hobbs, because that was an awesome story that kind of engulfed the entirety of the episode of Collision. And I'm very interested to see where this goes, because they're putting a lot of investment into Powerhouse Hobbs. He's getting good reactions. People like him. So that's been pretty fun. But Big Bill being in this situation is interesting because of the learning tree. And they like specifically have been naming like, where's the learning tree as Big Bill's getting his ass kicked outside. So it makes you wonder, do you think the learning tree is going to come to an end as well? Maybe Big Bill's the one who like shuts it all down. Is that like one of those, like where do you guys see Big Bill Powerhouse Hobbs maybe going? Do you see like Jericho getting involved in some capacity?
I think it leads to Hobbs and Jericho.
For the world title, ultimately. For Ring of Honor world title gold?
Maybe, yeah, because they're clearly building up Hobbs more and more, like you said. They couldn't give him the world title. They're not sure on that yet. We're not sure if we're ready for that hump yet. But I feel like maybe something. And, God, I forgot that Jericho had the Ring of Honor title. So, but, yeah, that could be a way to just spice it up. But I think it is, you know, it's classic go through the faction to get to the leader kind of stuff. So I think that would be maybe a good, even though I still want to keep like Ring of Honor titles off of the main Dynamite.
It seems like the only title that gets featured narratively is the Ring of Honor world title. That's the only one that gets featured narratively. Everything else has been kind of pushed over to the Ring of Honor show itself, which is good. Like you'll see them like Commander's the TV champion, and Lee Moriarty, I think, is the pure champion right now. So like you'll see them show up on occasion, but I actually don't disagree with that. Like it's kind of cool, because, you know, it wouldn't, I would have fucking popped if I would have seen old NXT Black and Gold stories manifest itself on like, you know, Raw and SmackDown back then. Sure. So I don't know, like maybe it's good and bad. I definitely see more of the bad, 100%. That now, of course, last thing I did want to talk about regarding Collision, main event, and this is kind of the reason why I wanted to discuss this, was because of just how good of a job that main event did. I was really down on Konosuke Takeshita's like reign, and I still am to a certain extent. But that match with Shibata, that was just fucking great. That was just good old-fashioned, hard-hitting wrestling. And even though there wasn't story necessarily built into it, one thing that I am excited to see what comes out of it is whether or not Takeshita, you know, is going up against Kenny, whether he's going up against Ospreay. Like, that's clearly where we're going one way or another here. But yeah, man, it just made me really want to see Shibata win like the international title or something like that. It was so fucking good. What did you guys think of Collision overall? Did you, Jake, did you feel like it was, to what Matt was saying, cohesive? Did you feel like it hit the mark where it needed to, or there's still more to be done?
Yeah, it feels like it matters. Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest thing is it feels like, what happens on here finally matters, that there are consequences and angles to build upon, and that, you know, and that Dynamite isn't just this island where all the focus is being driven, but instead like they're being given, you know, equal attention. I think it's great. I think it gives them the opportunity to spread things out a little bit and give them a little room to breathe and and not rush things, even though per our last discussion that may have happened, but hey, one out of, you know, 10
it's true.
Ain't true. Bad.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're rushing everything all the time. Maybe in some instances they're taking a little too much time for our final topic of this week's Wednesday show. The Death Riders, you know, again, I've been looking and seeing what people have been talking about in the conversation, and, you know, the conversation with the Death Riders right now, it really very much feels, Jake, like it's time to wrap it up and move on. Do you agree with that consensus, or do you think there could be some more meat on the bone? Is there anything that you would like to see happen that hasn't happened yet? Yes,
for it to end. Like that's I'm kind of there, because I just feel like, you know, do you know the episode of It's Always Sunny where Dennis and Mac move in together?
Yes.
And Mac makes his world famous mac and cheese, but then it's all he serves for the next 30 days. That's yes. how this Death Rider story yes. has felt.
Yeah.
I feel like we keep being served Mac's famous mac and cheese, and I just want to take it and fucking throw it down the hallway, because I'm like, I'm tired of eating the same shit all the time. That's all this feels like. It feels like it's just the same like reheated thing. We're saying the same thing over and over again, and we're just spinning our wheels. And I don't know what there is left to do with it other than to just get it over with.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a really, I watched a video that they dropped with Moxley and Renee, which I thought was really funny, because it's like, here's Mox being like super serious and getting all angry in front of his wife. And I know that if I did that with my wife in front of me, she'd just laugh at me the entire time. So shout out to Renee for keeping it together as her husband was acting up a storm. It was quite, well,
to
quite
be fair,
funny.
He probably walks through the house just doing that all the time anyway. Does. And she's just like, it's just John being John.
No one wants to clean the damn floor anymore. Yeah. No one wants to do the laundry anymore. Yeah. You know,
I'm making these kids so they'll come in here and do this laundry and wash these dishes. Time for these kids to step up.
Honestly, John Moxley as a dad probably pops off, so it would be so. Yeah, man. But in any case, though, I don't disagree. I had high hopes for where this can go. I'm very glad that we never did the Shane McMahon whatever bullshit that got rumor that got spread around, probably by the old WWE people, to be completely honest with you, because it makes no fucking sense. I'm just glad that that was not the case. I guess the thing that really bothers me the most, and I guess it's the thing that has also fundamentally hurt AEW, and it's the fact that, like, you know, they have so much. They have an abundance, right? They have an abundance of titles. They have an abundance of talent. They had an abundance of shows. You know, it was like, it was an abundance of everything, you know? And I think the Death Riders is a really good example of that, because here you have, let's just say, John Moxley, Pac, and Claudio. Just those three guys alone. Those three guys alone. You build an entire company around those three guys. Right. Like, I mean, you literally have, right, with AEW. But like, those three guys are incredible, but yet they're just there. You know, like, the best Claudio looked was in the Continental Classic. And then we really hadn't done much with Claudio post Continental Classic. He should be coming in looking like a world beater in every single match he does, which he does to an extent. But it's just odd. There's a strange disconnect, but I'm hoping that when, you know, they finally drop the belt and, you know, get it back into the storyline, I think what will save it is Christian Cage, personally. I think he's the guy. I think he's the one, because honestly, patriarchy.
Which then, to me, just makes everything we did with the Death Riders
pointless.
Not matter.
Yeah, pointless. I mean, I'm curious how they even get there, you know, how easy. They even. Yeah, well, like what they do. Cope. What do you think? Cope? Oh, yeah, Cope. Look, is the easy
it's,
one.
A, it's a re- it's a repeti- it's repetitious, but it's built in. And while they're older generation, I think you could still squeeze some juice from that fruit, so to speak. Yeah, I mean, look, as much as we kind of thought, like, all right, it's going to be Darby to save AEW kind of thing, I think we're. I don't know if he's coming back soon. It feels like we need to go now or soon, yeah. kind of thing. And what are they? They're in the middle of this thing with Cope right now. They could, an FTR have a big moment. You know, FTR is neutralizing Death Riders. Cope one-on-one finally beats Mox. And in an almost like Moose, Josh Alexander, and TNA moment, here's Christian with the contract. Edge is barely, or excuse me, Cope is barely standing. Boom, like nut shot, chair shot, finisher, steals his moment. And then we get Edge and Christian going at it again, which we know they could perform. We know they could do it. Hopefully that won't be like some 6-8 month thing, but you let them go at it for a pay-per-view or two and then switch the title to someone, maybe someone new. And it could be good TV. I'm not saying, especially if we want to go soonish, I think that could be one of your more intriguing stories. And if we're not waiting for like a Darby or somebody to kind of come on the up and up and do it.
Yeah, no, it makes it, you're right in that you have something kind of pre-baked ready to go. And
I still think Darby comes back because Lord knows, even if they say he's gone for 6 months to heal his ribs or whatever, he'll be back tomorrow if he wants to be because he's nuts.
Yeah.
So I think Darby beats him. Same story, though. Christian steals it away, and then Darby chases Christian for an all-in victory or something, you know, some kind of
big
moment.
But, you know, I got to say, though, my only misgiving with that is the fact that Darby's just, he's just too inconsistent. If I'm like, if I am running AEW and I have the money and I'm like looking at my schedule and the main beats we're going to be hitting and I'm looking at my talent, and I know this isn't storyline related, but this is a real consideration. Can you rely on that? You know, can you rely on Darby not to break his foot? Can you rely on Darby not to break his ribs or you know, do something insane?
Go climb Everest.
And again, you know, live your life, brother. Like, do your thing.
I mean, that's the highest one. Once he's done climbing that one, does he have to climb anything else?
I don't know at that point, right? But when you're an adrenaline junkie.
Down it.
Yeah, exactly. So. He wants to snowboard down Mount Everest, as a matter of fact. That's what he wants to do. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, I don't really, like, feel at this point with real life, considering real life, that Darby is the guy that you can like put for that big moment. I think the guy that you actually lean in that big moment is Hanger. I think Hangman is the guy. He has been Mr. AEW since the doors opened. He has been there from the start. He is personifying everything that Jon Moxley says he needs, you know, someone to step up and do. It's like all kind of, it's smarter to go that
route.
He's
the murderous, cantankerous babyface that we need.
Yeah, and even people are pointing out, too, because Hangman likes to have fun with social media. And he likes to, you know, if you follow his Blue Sky account, it's incredible. He just bitches about plants all day. It's it really is amazing. Some of the best content on the internet. We're simple people. But one of the things that he does is he like kind of tweaks. Young Bucks do it too. Like they tweak the bios and stuff like that. So before, his like banner was like Raging Fire. And then after the match with Christopher Daniels and the promo with Christopher Daniels after the fact, his background's now like smoldering embers or whatever. He like purposefully changed it. So I was like, oh, that's clever. You know, I'm curious to see how this manifests on TV.
Yeah, there was an interesting moment in that promo where Christopher Daniels came out to tell him, I'm not medically cleared anymore. And Hangman just had this great moment where he just like, you just kind of hear him softly go, what?
Yeah.
Like he was like,
shocked.
I think that could be a catalyst for something that might have stepped him out of his craziness a little bit to be like,
speaking of that, do you remember the summer of comedy Stone Cold?
Yes.
He was recovering from injury, but he started doing all the Kurt Angle, the songs and everything.
Yeah.
But then there was the big, during the invasion angle, I need the old Stone Cold. Yeah. And he's like, no. And he goes to the bar and he's drinking. And then they have the pickup truck pulls up kind of thing. Could we have like almost like a reverse, like we have heel Hangman, but it's like maybe something lights inside him in and he's going to fight for this company and has a big like,
yeah,
screw it. I'm here to say liberate AEW from this BS. Boom, Death Riders down.
Because
kind of a mini version of that kind of a moment of like something's changing him. It's time to step up sort of thing.
And the reason why I like that as well, and I think that it could even lead to, you know, a Hangman who is back to where he once was, or not completely, because he, I don't think you'll ever be able to get back to it, but you know, a new version of what is the new Hangman.
Arson, that's
arson's a line that's very difficult to come back from. But I guess what I'm saying is, you know, when you even look at his presence in a lot of these matches, right, and what he was doing, it was selfish. It was about him, or it was about vengeance. It was about hurting someone or getting his belt back. Like, it was never about like the thing that has kind of been the overarching story of all this, which is like fighting for the soul of AEW. What does AEW represent? And I really do genuinely in my heart believe that Hangman Adam Page represents everything that AEW is, because he not only has he been there from the beginning, but like, we want to talk about like wrestlers that have actually developed really great characters because of their time in AEW, right? A lot of wrestlers come to AEW with characters already pre-baked. Hangman has evolved because of AEW, you know, and there aren't a lot of wrestlers who could say that wrestling in AEW right now, you know. I don't know.
It's the difference between having a gimmick and having a character.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of these people have come in with a gimmick and now they're forming a character. And that's the big difference.
It's like Swerve, man. It's like Swerve. Yeah. Like he came into this former NXT guy. Everyone was like, oh, this dude, he's supposed to be the future, blah, blah, blah. And like internet was beating on him day in and day out. I mean, everything about it was crazy. Now you look at this dude. I can't imagine AEW with Swerve Strickland not in it. Like this guy is he embodies it, and now he's like the most dangerous man. Like I even want an idea that maybe brings Hangman and Swerve for like the most dangerous tag team. You know what I mean? Like I think that would be freaking awesome, especially now that Hurt Syndicate is into play. You know, like I think could also be great. Like you got some great characters here, as you said, Jake. Not gimmicks, good characters. You just gotta start leaning on it, man, because. And clock's ticking. You know what I'm saying? Clock's ticking. People want to see the things that they have been anticipating come to fruition. You can't keep dangling the carrot, you know, for too long, because that is what happened with Death Riders. You just dangle the carrot for way too long at this point without a clear resolution. So anyway, great conversation, though, on that. Curious to know what you guys think. Let us know in the comments down below. Do you agree with our assessment? Who do you think is a person that will take out John Moxley into Death Riders? We want to hear from you. You know, it's getting close to the end of the show, fellas. You know what we do at the end of the show? Anyone want to take a guess? Anyone want to think?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
It's time for our Reba 24/7 Champion of the Week!
So,
fuck Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Dude, I'm telling you, like...
I don't like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and there's...
That's a wild take.
No one is ever going to convince me otherwise. You want to know why?
Mute yourself.
Because cornflakes are the superior cereal, okay? There are canvas upon which you can create, all right? You can put...
want to eat canvas for breakfast.
Look at their faces.
I mean... Oh, my God.
It's amazing. Go for it, Matt. Go.
Reese. Nope.
A little Wusaw.
Just roll on. Continue. Just continue.
Oh, man. All
right. Pushing it down.
Well, guys, you know what we do for our Rebook 24/7 Champion of the Week. This is the segment where we... award the person, place, or thing that brought us the most joy in professional wrestling this week. There were a lot of great moments across the board. A lot of fun ones.
Yeah.
Anything that sticks out to you guys? I have one that I would like to share if you guys are good for it.
Sure, go for it.
By all means, I'm still
so
distracted. I got one.
Am absolutely... I can't find the picture of it. I have to find the actual... Oh, yeah, I think I found it here. Okay, this... The WWE 2K25. I know it's not AEW related, but it doesn't matter. The cover of Paul Heyman and the side of the thing. I wish I could zoom in better. I'm going to see if I can get it. But just seeing Paul Heyman in the corner of the game cover just praying to Roman Reigns is fucking genius. That was so good. It was so good. Like, because I was like, they show the cover and the segment on Raw, and I was like, oh, that looks cool. That's great. And it was, again, my wife who pinpointed. She was like, oh my God, look at Paul Heyman. He looks so stupid in the bottom.
But wait, that's a different game though, right? Because Paul Heyman announced the cover for WWA 2K25.
Oh my God, that was also super funny. He said
that was almost going to be my choice. It's not, but that was almost. I was like, wait, his brain went to K. I know, because my brain will do that. His brain went to 2K.
Yeah.
WWA 2K25.
There he is.
That is great, though. That's fantastic.
It's just so good. And again, shout out to Drew McIntyre. Best promo in the game. Tying it in. And I don't even know if it was intentional, but the fact that that entire promo happened in front of that picture on the banner was just so apropos. So anyway, that's mine. I thought that was just too funny. So what do you guys have?
Mine is simple. Mine this week is the Gulf of Mexico, because that's what it's fucking called.
It's called the fucking Gulf of Mexico. Plain and simple.
I'm done. That's it.
Shout out to Jay. The Gulf of Mexico.
I mean, mine's Cinnamon Toast Crunch now.
I'm down to give it to the Gulf of Mexico. Gulf of Mexico. Gulf of Mexico. Are we all in, everyone?
I mean, honestly, I was probably going to give it to J.D. McDonagh.
Holy
shnikes, dude.
After breaking his body on the announce table, going another 10 minutes.
Yeah. Broken ribs, punctured
and
lung.
And a puncture lung.
Probably a concussion that he didn't tell
anybody. And also, I want to further that and give another great shout out to Michael Cole, because he knew immediately. Like, he was like, he's seen enough in his career, I'm sure.
He heard his bones crack.
Yeah.
He was right next to
him. There's just no world where you're like, no, he's okay after that. Like, and Michael Cole, I don't know if this is true or not, but I was hearing that, like, when he was saying those lines and the camera wasn't on him, he was like waving to a ref to get like the ref's attention, or he was doing something in that moment to get attention, because he was like, something is wrong, and he was trying to fit it into the show. Michael Cole is just, he's a goat. He's one of the goats, because I've been in a lot of really fucking weird situations in my career on stage, and I don't even know how I would have handled that, because I just would have assumed that he died. Like, that was crazy. Did you see? It was horrifying. Yeah.
He turned into Gumby.
Oh. Yeah.
Clunk, clunk.
Good God.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. J.D. McDonagh.
Like, he looked like the Quap guy falling over.
Do we just want to change it and give it to J.D. McDonagh?
We're just giving it to J.D. McDonagh.
I'm giving it to
J.D. McDonagh. We're glad that you are healthy and that, you know, it was just that. And it could have been much worse.
Are we surprised, though, of all things, that melon is perfectly fine? I mean, I'm not that shocked.
Pat McAfee, who was actually it's actually entertaining this week. I give him some credit.
He's not always my favorite. He's not bad. He's not always, but this week he had a couple of really great moments and segments.
Same here. He had a couple one-liners that were like genuinely really funny.
Yeah.
But when he made the line and he was like, oh man, and you know that head. And Michael Cole's like, we want to be very clear here, we're joking around, everyone, when we talk about his head, but yes, his head did save him. that was good. All right, J.D. McDonagh, you are, I never thought we would see the day. Wait, do you have one more, or are we ones
up? No, I'm throwing. You know what? Throwing it up.
Burn up the ones.
Ones up. Ones up for J.D. McDonagh. That's how we do it now. Ones up for J.D. McDonagh. All right.
There we go.
No more salute. We ones up in this hood. All right, everyone. That's gonna do it for us here. Thank you so much for watching our Wednesday show. Don't forget that we have our Friday show that is gonna be dropping. What's this? What are you doing?
Right? Just keep talking. Ignore me.
God, I hate you.
I love you, J.D. McDonagh.
Make sure you check out our Friday show, where we're going to be covering everything with the Royal Rumble. That's right, everyone. We have our predictions and our final predictions for who's winning the Royal Rumble. We'll see you guys on Friday. Take care, everyone. Peace. Later.